At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
We'll get back to those calls in just a sec. 888-808-1019, the number to call. So would you make your first reaction to Devin Williams signing last night?
My first reaction was,
with the Mets, obviously.
Yeah, of course, you better make sure. First, I was a little surprised by the amount of money. So my first reaction
too
was,
too much or what?
I think it's too much money.
Okay.
Now, unless
it's 51
be,
for 3 years,
yeah,
right?
I mean, what setup man is making three years, $17, $18 million a year?
Right, but it's only
a lot of money.
Years.
I understand that. But
Diaz was just making five for 100.
Yeah, but Diaz is the closer.
Diaz is... I mean, Williams might be a
closer.
Well,
that was real. Again, the whole reaction was, okay, if he's the closer, that's a steal. If he's, and I think that Devin Williams is still good. I think he got off to a rough start. I think he stabilized it enough for me to say, all right, he's got the chops for New York, so I'm not worried about that. But if Diaz bounces, now you still got to find somebody to set up Devin Williams, and Devin Williams is less than Diaz. So, it's a mathematical equation. To me, Williams plus Diaz equals amazing. Williams minus Diaz equals problematic, unless they are able to solve that with another stud closer. But they're not paying him, I don't think, unless they are going bonkers and they're going to have a $400 million payroll, which I guess it wouldn't surprise me at this point with Cohen. If he is the setup man, legitimately, $17 million a year, that would surprise me. So I kind of feel like Diaz is going to bounce, but I don't know for sure.
Oh, okay, so let's just take this in isolation of Devin Williams first.
Okay.
If this were last offseason, this to me would be a home run move. 3 years, 51.
I agree with that.
Okay. So now we're letting 1 year in New York, which, by the way, he handled adversity well.
Mm-hmm.
To show that you can, remember I was saying like the Yankees are kind of like a breeding ground for the Mets, or vice versa, if you could handle New York. The Mets have gotten a lot of former Yankees. It just continues to happen. Soto, Clay Holmes, Luis Severino, and now
they
Devin
better
Williams.
Not be Bellinger next, by the way.
Well, I mean, who knows?
But gotta draw the line somewhere.
The point is, at least they weren't taking the chance on Williams in New York. The Yankees did that, mm-hmm. and then there were some struggles, but then he figured it out. And now, so now they know that he can handle adversity, a closer's role, being moved from that closer's role, being moved back, whatever. He can handle postseason. He can handle those things. And they got to see that firsthand watching the Yankees. And now they get him, a guy who was considered last offseason the best closer in the game, or the best one available. Certainly one of the top closers in the game, for sure.
No
They get
question.
Him for 3 years, $51 million. If you factor in Diaz for 5 years, $100 million, I know you're just saying, well, it's money, what's the difference? And I still think that they could get Diaz. I mean, the reports are Andy Martino was saying that they're still in on Edwin Diaz. So I think that that's the idea, the dream bullpen, 8-9. But if Diaz wants 5 years, $100 million,
mm-hmm.
dude, that's insane for a closer.
So you think if those are the demands, which they will be, you think Cohen and Stearns balk, and they just say, okay, this is our plan B, and we're good with our plan B?
At this point, I believe that they will. Now, I don't know that. I'm just doing the math. Why wouldn't you sign, if your true plan was Diaz first,
yep.
and then Williams as the eighth inning guy,
uh-huh.
why wouldn't you make sure you lock Diaz up first
uh-huh.
and see where you're at, and then see if you could fit Williams in? They went the other way, which makes me think
they've got some intel that maybe he's going to go.
Well, Diaz,
or they don't want to give him the number.
Correct. He's at a number where they're like, well, we're not going to bend for that, mm-hmm. so let's go get the airbender and bring him in here.
Okay.
And what they think is a good value, 3 years, $50 million. And worst case, if they can't come to an agreement with Diaz, which they feel would be fair, they at least have their closer in Williams, who was one of the best closers in the game.
And I'd rather have this situation where at least you see secure an option in case, and now you can still negotiate with Diaz, and you make the decision. Do you want to give him that kind of loot or do you not? And then you pivot. Now, if you wouldn't have signed Williams and Williams would have signed elsewhere, and then Diaz says, goes to the Dodgers, or I was talking to somebody last night. I know I told you who I was talking to, so don't say it. But I was talking to somebody last night in baseball. Yeah. We were texting last night, you and I, and I said I just got off the phone with somebody. That somebody told me he wouldn't be surprised if Diaz goes to Toronto. So we'll see. But just to keep it on Williams.
Industry sources here.
A little bit more. Yes, I'm going to take over Martino's role at SNY. Yeah. Might need a job soon. Yeah. So, listen, I know that the stuff is still there for Devin Williams. I believe that. I believe the stuff is very, very good. And because we got a more than a glimpse of how he dealt with adversity, which was pretty good, I think his character is there. So I'm not worried about that stuff. I'm really not, Sal. Now, think about, let's weave this in. We'll get back to the calls, obviously. Think about how we talked about and what we said about Abdul Carter. Like, when you draft somebody, and you've said it many times, like, you wish you could be in the room to interview somebody. Well, you can't until they get, but watching, from the Mets' perspective, watching somebody do their craft across town, the pressure cooker, the Bronx, the Yankees, and then seeing how they comport themselves and deal with the band stuff is like the interview. So from an emotional point of view, I think Devin Williams is fine.
Think about how great that is, that you can gather information on a free agent based on his time on another team in the same town. Like, if Devin Williams is coming off Milwaukee, the question would be, okay, well, you signed him to be your closer. Great. Can he handle New York? So the fact that you know that he can handle New York, even though it didn't go perfectly, learn to me, that is a feather in his cap saying, hey, we know he can handle this. He'll be fine here, especially after getting the first year out of the way there. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you guys doing today?
Good, Larry. What's up?
What's up, man?
Yeah, listen, you and I called about a week and a half ago when the rumors first started about Williams signing with the Mets, and I told you I wanted no part of him as a closer, only if they sign Diaz and make an 8-9 combination. Mm-hmm. I still feel the same way, but with Diaz, I mean, if he gets that kind of money, more power to him. Uncle Steve just got a casino. He's got plenty of dough.
Yeah, but okay, let me just ask you, Larry, and we'll let you continue here. Because I'm legit asking this question because I've been battling within myself for this. I did it last night, same thing on SNY. Like, I'm torn. Logically, to me, it's not the right move to give Diaz 5 years, $100 million. Would you, Larry, think it's the good move? Forget about how much money Cohen has. Would you invest 5 years at this point, 5 years, $100 million, in Edwin Diaz?
No, if it was me, no. I agree with you, Sal. I wouldn't go that far. I'd go maybe three, tops four. But that being said, Diaz, he's not the only option. That guy on San Diego's out there, Suarez, is very good. I'd also feel good with him as a closer, and Williams coming in number two. Listen, Sal, the history of the Mets, I go way back with them. They always get guys who are stars elsewhere. Go back to George Foster, Jason Bay, Robbie Alomar, Carlos Baerga.
They
come to the Mets and they forget. Yeah, they forget how to play. I mean, it's just the history of this team. And Williams already started showing signs of slipping last year with the Yankees. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and thanks for the call, Larry.
How about the George Foster reference? Yeah, boy, he looked weird in a Mets uniform, huh?
Yeah.
George Foster.
As a young kid, I don't know why I liked George Foster. I know he wasn't very good with the Mets, but maybe he was good for a stretch, and that stuck in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I used to emulate him in wiffle ball. Anyway, point is, I think it's a good move bringing in Devin Williams, who is... He has nasty stuff, elite stuff, one of the best closers in the game. And if you could now somehow get Diaz, let's say, 4 for $80 as opposed to 5, maybe that's where they meet in the middle. Yeah. So they had 3 years remaining on his deal or whatever, maybe 2 years remaining. They signed him before the 2023 season, right? So 2023, 2024, 20. So that means they had 2 years remaining on his deal. He opts out. If you give him an extra year, would basically would equate to the extra year, 3 years for 80, 85. And now you could get Diaz and Williams for $130 million total. Yep. That's something I'd be willing to do. Oh, you're going to go to $100 million for a closer?
Listen, here's one thing that I like about the approach early on this offseason with the Mets. They are finally open to everything.
Yeah.
It's not, let's run it back with Nimmo, let's run it back with this guy. No, they know that they've got to do some radical stuff. Now, maybe the Diaz situation is not radical. Maybe he's back and you've got a lights out 8-9 combination. I've got another option for you, which I'll throw at you in a minute and tell me what you think. But before I get there, but it's got to apply. What we've said about the Yankees obviously has to apply to the Mets. And one thing we've said about the Yankees is that, like, you can't lose Bellinger and then bring in Tucker and expect to win a World Series. It's got to be retain Bellinger and then add to it.
Right.
Okay. So I would say the same thing for the Mets. It can't be lose Diaz and then just replace him. It's got to be bring back Diaz and add to it, which would be the Devin Williams situation.
Well, you could just replace Diaz with Williams. Again, I'm not saying that's ideal. I know the idea would be to pair the two together. But you can replace Diaz with Williams and still build a better ball club everywhere else.
But I'd also like to see, but I feel better about that if I know somebody is in the eighth inning, which leads me to a possible option here. All right, so the Mets have been tied to Valdez. I mean, I wouldn't give him $200 million, but it ain't my money. I do like him, and they need pitching. Let's say they get Valdez, and let's say they trade for, I'd love to say Schuble. So I'm going to be aggressive, and I'm going to think best of the best here for the Mets today. Trade for Schuble, sign Valdez. At that point, you could take Clay Holmes and make him your eighth inning man if Diaz leaves.
Right.
You could do that.
I mean, they still need starting pitching. We'll see.
But I'm saying if you get Valdez and you get Schuble.
But you're still going to need some starting.
But you got Peterson. Maybe. You got McLean. If Senga stays and Senga says he wants to stay.
Maybe that's a part of their thinking. Like, hey, you know what? The Holmes experiment. He was solid, but are we going to rely on a guy? I'm not sure. I mean, we'd have to actually do some intel. I could ask some people maybe to do some reporting on that or whatever, find out. But I'm not sure what they think of Clay Holmes long term. It certainly would be an option. I don't think they even need to go there. Think about it, BT. Bullpens should not be the most important part of a team, especially in the offseason. You can't tell me that. I know it would hurt to lose Diaz. You can't tell me that it would be such a significant difference from Diaz to Devin Williams. The Yankees last year overcame, Devin was supposed to be their closer, mm-hmm. and they figured it out. Luke Weaver wasn't even any good, and they figured out they went and got Bednar. There's no guarantee that Bednar is going to be some stud closer. These things are so fickle, bullpens are, year to year, that I have a hard time investing big money in it, and I also don't think it makes that big of a difference. Diaz, best closer in the game last year, they won 83 games.
Well, I'm with you on that.
It's like everything else, defense, starting pitching, mm-hmm. the offense. Like, there's a lot more to invest in.
This would be before your time. I know you know the name, but you know when Neil Allen was coming up, though, if you remember Neil Allen, I think he was number 13. Not when he was on the Cardinals as part of the trade, but when he was on the Mets and he was a closer. And he was, he wasn't like a Hall of Famer, but he was one of the few bright spots on the team. And I'm talking about those wretched Met teams, late 70s, early 80s, like the Kingmans, just the awful teams. Mazzilli, and we love Maz, but those teams were bad. Pat Zachary, etc. It doesn't do you any good to have a borderline all-star closer if you're a 68-win team. And to your point about the volatility with the bullpen year to year, so the Yankees 2 years ago, Holmes was the closer, and then Weaver's closing in the World Series. And, you know, for the most part, Weaver did a good job until he didn't. And last year, Williams was the closer, and then it's Bednar who wasn't even on the team until the trade deadline. So, yeah, I am a staunch believer, and if you've got to address like a top of the rotation or a big time potent bat, you do that now. But the closer stuff, you can always find a way to fix it in the season.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, on Devin Williams, listen, I'm glad the Yankees didn't sign him. Sal, you are right. The season ended with him better than it started, but all of those losses, the blown saves count. And remember, the Yankees lost the division by one game. Otherwise, we would have won the division, and maybe we don't use all our starters in a wild card round, and we'll never know what would happen, obviously. But the point is, it wasn't a great start for him. We lost games thanks to him, and I just didn't have confidence in him. And he's going to have a new start now with the Mets with just as much pressure, or you could argue more, based on the way the Mets have gone all in. So I'm not sure about this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, and thank you for the call, Chris. Mm-hmm. I can understand the Yankee fans wanting to move on from Williams and having reservations about him, but I'm a big believer in bounce-back years, especially with bullpen. So last year, and the same way the opposite, like last year, you and I had this conversation when the Yankees traded for Williams, and it was, well, Williams is going to be the best closer in the game. And I'm like, well, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. Just because his numbers say one thing, year to year, new market, you just don't know. And now it's the opposite. Now it's like, well, Williams is not any good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Now it's Williams not any good. And now I would expect him to maybe revert to form a little bit, especially after handling adversity. It wasn't like he had a god-awful year and he couldn't rebound and have success with the Yankees. He handled adversity all year long. Was it great? No, obviously it wasn't. But now maybe he can put it all together and regain that top-tier form with the Mets.
I think he could. And by the way, I would almost guarantee that he does. Like, I trust me, I don't think we're sitting here in April, whether he's setting up Diaz or he is Diaz. I don't think he's going to have an ERA of 9 in April, which is what he had a year ago for the Yankees. Now, when he was scuffling, right, and I'm talking about the height of his scuffles, as a guy whose primary pitch, and it's an all-time changeup, as a changeup, if you don't have a fastball, like, there's got to be a differentiation between the fastball and the changeup, but it can't be 8 or 9 miles. Like, it's got to be greater than that. And his fastball, I don't know why. I'm not a pitching coach, but I know his fastball was not there in April. And when it's not there in April and you throw the changeup, he'll start guys with a changeup. Like, I tell my kids that I coach, I mean, young kids, don't throw back-to-back changeups. Don't throw a changeup on the first pitch because it's just like a slow meatball batting practice fastball. Obviously, in the pros, it's very different. Point being, once his fastball got back to where it usually was, yeah, it rendered his changeup a lot more effective, and he kind of went back to being Devin Williams.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Joey Clams is in Brooklyn talking about some Giants football. What's up, Joey Clams?
What's this? It's the jacket. The jacket. Yeah. I took it off Rocket the Mail. He thought he was the toughest guy in that town.
It's the jacket, though. It's the jacket.
What's this?
Hey, Sally boy. Yeah. Don't be key. I still sport the black leather jacket, Cousine, to the max.
The Cousine. But that's a word I haven't heard in a while. I got you.
Hey, listen. You, Sally, you're right. This team needs discipline, the Giants. You got to bring Bill Belichick in here. The special teams were atrocious. They cost 17 points last night. They can't tackle. Their secondary is terrible. Belichick always had a great secondary. And you bring in Mike Lombardi to run to be the general manager. Bring the discipline back. Stop with the substitute teachers. You got to bring discipline back. And you two guys' daughters play softball?
Yes.
Go get Gabriella Fredetta to train him, the best middle infielder shortstop that ever came through Bergen County.
Ooh, Bergen County. Prospect. There you go.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Joey Clems. Not sure little Sammy's going to be playing softball anytime soon. But
well, it sounds like going to be out there getting thrown out of a game.
No.
I'll tell you, anybody that gets thrown out of a youth game, they should.
Where was I the other day that I ran into somebody?
Oh, did they bring that up?
Yeah.
Well, tell me what happened.
Where the hell was I? Where did I go this weekend? I can't remember.
You went to the movies to see Wicked 2.
No, it wasn't there.
You were very strange. I'm actually enthused about that as well. How was it? You never told me.
It was good, not great.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. I was strangely enthused.
Yeah, it's got to be honest.
Meanwhile, you asked me if I dressed up to go there. I'm like, no, I'm not dressed up. Everybody was dressed up.
I told you. Costumes
and Wicked Witch costumes. It was good, not good. The first one was great. I couldn't love it anymore. Mm. Second one was good. I'd still say must watch to finish the story.
Okay.
But, God, I can't remember where the hell
somebody,
I was.
Recently. So somebody
but
comes
somebody
up to
came
you.
Up to me and said, you know, hey, love the show. I coach with BT.
Coaches with me or against me?
No, against you.
Okay.
I might have been at Rails picking up dessert.
Okay.
And they came up to me. I think that's where it was. It was like, I coach with BT, against BT.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying.
What was he saying? That's the whole point of the conversation. Good or bad?
He was actually protecting you. He said he thought you went a little over the top, but thought that the ump did have it in for you.
Yes, there you go.
I was like, are you sure? I go, no cameras are here, not on mic. You could tell me the truth. And he did say that. He's like, BT may want a little bit. I'm like, I'm sure that he did. But he said the ump, he thought, had it in for you, and it was more the ump's fault.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, further exoneration here. I did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I actually showed you the video when I got back from vacation, which I didn't post because I just wanted it to end. I did not want to be in the news in the New York Post with a picture of me pointing and, you know, say with my name and the bold head ejected from Little League game, whatever it said. But I did show you that, and I showed Boomer and Gio because they were the ones who were talking about it more than anybody.
Yeah.
And somebody called into their show, and of course they were talking about it. And I showed both of you guys, and I'm like, do I look guilty here? And I showed you, and I showed them, and I was pretty clean.
Yeah.
You saw the video.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to back me up with that?
No, the video, yes.
Oh, okay.
The video, now it was also hard to see. I'm like, where are you again? The video. BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We'll get back to your calls on the side. Obviously talking some Mets, Yankees, free agency with Devin Williams. I'm expecting a lot of action next week with, is it next week?
December winter meetings.
Is going to be probably, you would think, with the Mets and Yankees, with all they have to offer. I would expect a very action-packed week at the winter meetings next week. But obviously the Devin Williams stuff with the Mets signing him away from the Yankees and the Giants lost last night, 888-808-1019.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You had that Gravesend thing last night.
Yeah, how'd it go there, Mr. Hollywood actor Sal?
It actually went well.
Okay,
for a
let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, it was just, you know, the last time that we did it, and thanks to Will DeMeo and Gravesend for even the opportunity. I told him I appreciate the opportunity. We had talked about it a while ago. He's like, yeah, I'll maybe write you a part or whatever. And then he did. And then I went to do it the first time.
Yeah.
It ended up like I had to be on set by 10 o'clock. We didn't get done until 4 in the morning. I was nervous. I thought I sucked. Had to come back in the next day, do all the shows. So I was like, man, what a tough experience that was.
Yeah.
This time, I wasn't sure what to expect. Much earlier call time, 4 o'clock. And then I told you I played the role of DJ Tom Paul. So they had like a nice, cool set, like fake radio thing built. Uh-huh. And I had to put the old school headphones on, like, you know, Steve Summers type headphones on.
Yeah.
And do my part. Yeah. It was just me. And it was, dude, it was a little nerve-wracking, but it went.
Of course it is.
It went well. I know, because you got everybody around you, the camera people.
Uh-huh.
They have no idea who I am. Like, what's this guy? Just read the line so we can get the hell out of here,
yeah,
Molly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, telling you what to do and how it should look and this and that. And then, okay, action and the take. But I thought I felt good about this time.
What were you wearing? Did you have the hoodie on as usual?
No, because I was supposed to wear one of those old. Remember, it takes place in the 80s.
Okay.
So they put me in some kind of shirt that would be fitting for the 80s, and I had the headphones on.
That
the
is old hysterical,
headphones.
Dude.
I think you'll like it when it comes out, Gravesend Series 3. I don't know when that's going to come out or be released, but I think they're almost wrapping up shooting now. But it went well. To a point where I felt good about it. Last time I was like, man, I sucked. This time it went pretty well.
And where were you up in the Bronx? What parks? I know you shot the first time by the Verrazano
City
Bridge.
Island?
Which is
that
my,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, City Island.
Which
first
is my
there.
Favorite bridge in the world. I love the Verrazano Bridge.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's my favorite by far.
Oh, yeah, that was the one I was at last time, right?
Yeah, remember, that's the one that, you know, growing up where I grew up in Flatbush, we'd go to Bay Ridge a lot.
Yeah.
Not to mention crossing it to play ball and go hang out in Staten Island, but... You know, when we were, I mean, a lot younger than we should be at that point, to be honest with you, banging back beers on off the Bell Parkway on this grassy knoll, we were basically right underneath the Verrazano Bridge. And you get into the whole Saturday Night Fever element. I love the Verrazano. It's gorgeous.
Just a wild experience.
Yeah, acting, right?
Yeah.
I know.
I don't think I could do it. I was so nervous. And then they, like, for hours, I'm just in my mind rehearsing the line, trying to memorize the line. They're like, oh, a couple of the people that were like, wow, you were pretty good. And I'm like, well, like, I do radio, but I just talk on radio. This memorizing what I'm supposed to say, it's a lot more difficult.
It's like school. It's a different skill set. And I'm sure you weren't very good in school like me.
Although I did have training with it when Spike used to tell us what to say.
And we, I couldn't stand those meetings, man.
Me too.
I love Spike, but I loathe going into those meetings because we're not going to say something we don't believe. And Spike's like, you got to have conflict within 30 seconds, which I get. You can't just ramble on for 9 minutes and not say anything. But God, those meetings were painful.
888-808-1019. The number to call, Brandon is calling from upstate New York about his Giants. What's up, Brandon?
Yeah, I just I'm just disappointed in where we're at as Giant fans and where we're going. I mean, I don't care if it's Belichick. I don't care if it's McCarthy. I don't care who it is. We need somebody that starts with a foundation of bringing a culture to this team that we don't have, and we haven't had in a long time. And we need to find somebody who's definitely going to bring in a positive, and I'm not saying, and accountability too. The lack of accountability, even with Carter as a rookie, there needs to be a foundation of something that's of anything better than what we have. I don't care if we find a way to get Tomlin. I don't care if it's Titan McCarthy. I don't care who it is. We need to find a better culture for this team. And that's just what I have.
It's got to start with that.
I'm tired of it.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, it's got to start with that. That's why, you know, the first-year guy, you just can't do it. Yeah, I know Shermer wasn't a first-year guy, but he had nominal experience, and the Judge thing was a disaster, and McAdoofus, as my partner has called him for years, it always makes me crack up. He was a clown. I mean, the Giants have been, again, they've been an absolute circus since Tom Coughlin. Even the way Tom Coughlin walked off the stage and had that icy stare at ownership, like, that to me was the moment that the Giants died. Even though they had, you know, they had a little renaissance in 2022 with a nice road playoff win, they are devoid of leadership, whether it's from the coach, whether it's from, you know, various reasons, to be fair, to ownership. I get it. We're right. sensitive to that, right. as we've said many times. But I also think there's a lack of internal leadership. Like, to me, there's nothing more, like, there's nothing stronger than peer pressure. Like, it's one thing, and this isn't a great example, I don't know, because a radio station is very different than a team, because you and I do our show, and Boomer and Joe do their mm-hmm. show, so it's different. Yeah, we all want each other to do well, but we're in charge of our own destiny, to the most part. It's not like if we do a bad show, it impacts Boomer and Geo. Like if I have five false starts, it's going to impact the whole team. All right, so it's not quite like that. But if it was, or if there was a station event, and you and I either didn't go, which of course we would, or we didn't behave properly, which of course we would, and Boomer came in and said, hey, listen, especially like when we first got here, it's not how we do things. You know, we've been around for a long time here at the Fan. That's not how we roll. I think that I would take that more seriously than, say, even if Chris Oliveiro or Hurley or Spike, one of our bosses, said it, because peer-to-peer tends to carry more weight. And to me, when Carter makes the same mistake 10 days later, there's nothing going on peer-to-peer.
Yeah, I do think that there, and Tiki talked about that a lot earlier in the year, I think even before the Abdul Carter stuff, where there's nobody on defense to hold these guys accountable. It can't all just be on the head coach. That happens in baseball as well. You know, sometimes people talk about the Mets and some of the clubhouse issues or chemistry issues, whatever. Oh, well, the managers are cleaning up. Well, not really. A lot of players police themselves, or a lot of managers let veteran players or let a veteran player police themselves within that clubhouse. So it's not always just on the manager or head coach. However, this issue with the Giants, to me, it's not just one player. It's not just one thing. It has been losing at a tremendous level for a long time, which is why I think you really need to, even McCarthy. I don't think McCarthy's the right
guy.
You
just don't like him.
No, it's
you don't feel him at all.
I think he's okay.
Guy's okay.
I think he's okay.
Won a Super Bowl. He's had a million 10, 11, 12 win seasons. At least you're getting something.
I don't think he's the right guy to take the Giants out of the abyss.
Fair. I don't know that he's the perfect guy, but I think he would lead them in the right direction. Now, maybe at that point, it's a handoff to the ultimate guy who gets him back to a Super Bowl, but I have not identified, nor has anybody that I deem worthy of identifying somebody that is a better option than McCarthy at this point, unless you trade for Tomlin or Tomlin's fired. Like, Gruden doesn't move me the way, it sounds great. God, come on, with Gruden. I wasn't doing anything with the Raiders. When he won with Tampa, he won with somebody else's players. Like, if somebody could give me a better name, I mean, I'm open to hearing somebody other than McCarthy, but I don't hear that name.
Rashawn is calling from White Plains. What's up, Rashawn?
Yep. Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, good, good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Been a Giants fan for about 20 years now. This team has just been atrocious. I mean, for one reason. I mean, no one's talking about it. National media and local media is not talking about it. I mean, I want to talk about the Giants ownership. I mean, we've had 7 head coaches and 3 GMs in 9 years. Also, 9 first-round picks during that time, and we can't figure out how to be competitive?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a bigger problem than Joe Shane. I mean, or another head coach. I mean, we've had so many issues. And it has to come from the top. Until Mara or Tim McDonald or whoever you want to blame in player personnel, I mean, we're just going to continue to struggle.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mara, and thanks for the call, Rashawn. We appreciate you checking in. I mean, that That, to me, is taking precedent. We've tried to handle this as delicately as we could, but it is a big factor in who is going to be making decisions, whether Joe Shane should stay or who the next people are going to be to run the New York Football Giants when we got to figure out the health here of Mr. Maris. So that's a whole nother major issue here. They're going to need a GM, and they definitely need a head coach. But we're not sure who, in fact, is going to make those decisions. But yes, I mean, I don't know how you could argue the record. We don't have to yell and scream anymore.
No, we're past that.
They fired the head coach. They fired the D coordinator. What's left to do here? They're 2-11. They keep losing football games. It's progressively gotten worse. Their top star pick is sleeping through meetings and have to be penalized because of it or disciplined because of it.
The other guy's not even dressed. He's inactive. And Evan Neal.
Yeah, come on.
You know, the thing, too, and again, you're right. If you're new to the show, okay, or if you've been with us for a while, but you just haven't heard this take, and I'm not going to reset it very deeply. I'll just keep it moving here. But, you know, with the health of Mr. Mara, there is a sensitivity to how we address the instability with the Giants. We're at our core, we're good. We might be loud. We might get a little nuts. We're good people, and we want good people to be healthy, okay? Having said that, you know, the Giants, you know, whether it's, you know, 3-13, 5-11, 4-12. This is in succession, by the way. 6-10, 4-13, then the 9-7, 1-6, then 6-3-2. Like, you know, Mr. Mara just got sick. I just ripped off 10-12 years of absolute disaster.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's been going on for a while, of course.
That's my only point.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
All right, little bold face lie, bold face truth. Rami in for Hop. What do you got for us, Rami?
All right, let's start with you, Sal. You talked about some of Joe Shane's missed draft picks, not getting a second contract, and with all the things going on with Abdul Carter will not get a second contract with the New York Giants.
I don't think that he will. I think that's a bald-faced truth. He will not get a second contract. I can't imagine. Doesn't mean it's going to be a total bust here. But, I mean, come on. The guy hasn't been productive. Usually you know about edge rushers right away, as it's one thing that's easily transferable from the college game to the NFL game, you would think. And plus the disciplinary stuff already, I would say there's no chance he gets a second contract.
This is where I'm not going to get hung up too much in the emotion of what he's done. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie. You're going to get a grown man in here, a big boy, who's going to make him toe the line? And I think he's going to eventually respond favorably. It's been a very disappointing year with the sack total. Yeah, you can tell me about the pressures, which does matter to an extent. And, you know, with some different technique, and that's football stuff. I'll let somebody else. I'll let Baldy worry about that. I do think that he can wreck games eventually as long as he matures and gets some better players around him, which I think he eventually will. So I'm going to say boldface lie. He will be back and get a second contract.
Yeah, new coaching staff would go a long way. I'll start with you, BT, here. We talked about the parity in the NFL yesterday. You said maybe it's a bad thing, but the New England Patriots just ripped off 10 wins in a row. The New England Patriots will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask me tomorrow, I might have one answer. You ask me on Friday, it might be a little bit of a different answer. I am going to say, you know, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. You know, they're going to be the one seed, barring catastrophe. And because they're going to run the ball well enough, and Drake May is scary good. Like, he really is good. And we know Vrabel's really good. They got a lockdown corner. So any great team they come up against in the playoffs, you would imagine that they'll be able to put some wraps on the passing game. And most of the games, if not all, will be up at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. I'm going to say bald-faced truth. I just don't know who else I can make a definitive case for. Now, if they had to go on the road, maybe I just say probably not, but because they won't have to, I'm going to say bald-faced truth.
I'm going to say bald-faced lie, although, I mean, you can't be more impressive than they've been. The quarterback, tremendous. The head coach, you know what he's about. The roster overall, they've won 10 straight games. Their plus-minus differential is the best in the AFC, one of the best in the NFL overall. Like, think about that. We were talking about the Patriots just winning games early on. Now it's become some dominant performances here. There's consistency. They're unbeaten on the road. They're unbeaten in the division. With all that being said, I still don't trust it. And I would take the field, Buffalo, Denver, Kansas City maybe even, the Chargers. I would take the field in the AFC over New England right now. Mm-hmm. Now again, that's probably not likely. I would bet that they're the favorites.
I would check that.
There's actually. There's no clear cut favorite. So the Patriots are the favorites at +420.
Okay,
but that's not like heavy favorites.
No.
The next closest is Denver at +470, then Buffalo at +480. And then it drops off a little bit to Indianapolis and the Ravens, 710 and 730 before Kansas City at 880.
And I'm not a chalk picker anyway.
Yeah.
I can't take New England. I would not bet on New England to go to the Super Bowl.
Although Denver's looking nice for you right now.
Yeah, I know. But even so, they got issues with Bo Nix. Like, they've been playing so many close games. At some point, they're going to get burned, probably in the postseason. Although, I mean, the avenue may go through Denver in the AFC.
You've loved them for a while. The thing about the Pats, like, if they were to win, and as much as I have issues about the NFL season this year, there's just too much parity. We hit this on the show yesterday. I'm not going to reset it. But if Drake May were to get to the Super Bowl and win, well, now you've got, and I do believe that, like, what he's doing is real. I mean, he leads the NFL in yards. He didn't even have a 300-yard passing game before last. Did he finish with three last? I don't think he did. Because they had the touchdown taken away. So he's got, like, 21 touchdowns, six picks. He's in 70-whatever percent completion percentage, number one in football. I say this because then it does get interesting when a young quarterback gets a Super Bowl early, and it's not, like, because he's along for the ride. Like, if Bo Nix and the Broncos win it this year, I don't think anybody would think that Bo Nix would turn into an all-timer. Whereas if May and the Patriots were to win one, you could see the early signs of him maybe getting to 2 and 3, get that profile that makes historical stuff more interesting. I know that was a little long-winded, but yeah, I mean, somebody like May, if you think he's the real deal, which I do, that would be interesting.
He finished with 282, almost like he didn't even try, though, yet last
night. Was it 282? Yeah, there you go.
Are you getting the last one?
The last one.
Like, keep it moving.
Devin Williams obviously signs with the Mets, and you guys talked about it's a good contingency plan if Diaz is not back, but Edwin Diaz will not be back as a New York Met.
Sal, why don't you take that first? Bullface lie, bullface true. Put him on the spot.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Text your boy Martino. Maybe get the answer right away. Maybe give you some info.
Will Salmon broke the Devin Williams thing.
I saw that.
Good for Will.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, what was it again?
Edwin Diaz will not be a New York Met.
I'm going to say that is a bald-faced lie. Do you think King Cohen is going to let the Met fans down? 3 years, $51 million. Come on, that's peanuts to him. Throw in the casino. You know King Cohen's going big this offseason. Edwin Diaz will be back closing games for the Mets alongside Devin Williams in the eighth inning.
Haven't heard that voice in a while. Always entertaining when you bust it out. Problem is, you're going to be wrong. I think it's going to be... Now, how'd you frame the question?
Yeah.
Jeez.
That he will not be back.
Okay, I know my answer.
Neither will this
sure.
segment, by the way.
God, you got that right. Wait, how'd you frame it again? Hold on. That he will not be back, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to say that that is a bald-faced truth. I think that somebody's going to blow him away, whether it's the Dodgers. I don't think that it's inconceivable that he's on the Yankees, which I wouldn't bet
Those
on that.
Those are the two favorites, by the
Who,
way.
The Dodgers and Yankees?
Yes, if you look at a
Good,
betting
it should
market.
Be. Well, from a Yankee perspective, they should go get Edwin Diaz. Why wouldn't you do
well,
that?
I think Toronto needs him more.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Bednar's not Diaz, but Bednar's... I'm comfortable with Bednar.
Would you pay five from a Yankee perspective?
I wouldn't pay... No, no. Okay. You know why I wouldn't pay from a Yankee perspective? Yeah. Not because I don't think Diaz is really good, because I know the way the Yankees have operated lately. If they carve out 5 years, $100 mil, then that means, you know, something else ain't happening that needs to happen. So I would say bald-faced lie. He will not be on the Mets. He will be on a different team.
BT and Sal on
I'll
the
try
fan.
To do better next time.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's not you. BT and Sal on the fan. Hawk is calling from Florida. What's up, Hawk?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Oh, man. Sal, man, I love you, man. You're hilarious. But Belichick, man, that's like dating Pamela Anderson from 2 decades ago, bro.
You tell me you wouldn't want to give that a spin?
I can't. Look, I
two
grew
decades
up in the
ago?
I mean, now, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, even now.
I'd have to check the body, the face
now,
a little banged up.
I'll check right now, man. I mean, seriously, like, I grew up in Clifton, New Jersey. I moved down to South Florida, so this black cloud of the Giants followed me last few years down here. Let me tell you, I mean, stability and credibility is what we need.
Yep.
And I don't like him. He's aesthetically, he looks terrible on TV. But I agree with DT, man. It's got to be McCarthy.
But I mean, what do you mean aesthetically he looks terrible? Who cares what he looks like? Look
I
at
mean,
Kafka's
I mean,
eyebrows.
He looks lost and clueless. I mean, I laugh at him on the sidelines with Dallas.
Well, how does Belichick look?
Well, and that's the guy you want? He looks lost and clueless. You'd rather have him than Bill Belichick?
Yeah, but you know what? DT, you might agree with me here. Coordinators like to work with McCarthy.
Yep. Yes.
And we need. Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. I mean, we had Quinn. Quinn is a great defensive coordinator.
Uh huh.
And I played against him in high school. By the way, he kicked my butt.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, opposite line of me. Yeah, but and honestly, like, it's not just the head coach. It's who wants to work with the head coach. McCarthy doesn't. He doesn't rock the boat. He never rocks the boat. He just sits there. He's steady. It might not look the part, but they want to work with him. So I think McCarthy would be the most credible hire for the Giants.
Hawk,
like you said.
That's what I think. I don't know that Belichick, and thanks for the call. By the way, is Animal going to give us a buzz tomorrow? Talking Animal. I don't know that, you know, anybody would be knocking down Bill Belichick's door to work for him. I know eventually he would have a staff in place, but he's not getting Josh McDaniels because he's already with the Pats. And some of the other coaches that he had a lot of success with early are kind of aged out and out of the game.
Okay, look, we're in the same area. You, me, Hawk, we all want the same type of head coach, meaning an experienced veteran who's a known, proven commodity, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I think they need that at this point.
Okay, so we at least agree on that. Then once we get there, go over the list of those, of the head coaches that are available now that fit that label.
Let's write them down.
Well, okay.
McCarthy, Belichick, Gruden.
Okay.
Flores. You got to count Flores?
I wouldn't put him in that.
Okay. All right. I'll put him next to... I'll put him in a different zip code,
but same
state.
He's not... He has experience. He's not proven like
other
guys.
True.
I mean,
this
guy's won Super Bowls.
That's true.
You know?
Who else? How about Tomlin with an asterisk? I mean, if Tomlin's available,
but that's a different
you knock down doors to get Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, okay.
That's a given.
Agreed. Yeah. Because you know he's going to be here a long time. He's going to build this thing up, sustainable, whatever. So Tomlin aside, because I don't look at him as realistic, if those are your three, Gruden, McCarthy, Belichick, as the biggest names, proven Super Bowl winning head coaches, of those three, I'm going with Bill Belichick. And I understand the risks at this point. But I also know the risks with the other guys. If they hired Gruden, I'd be, okay, I'm curious to see what he could do. But I think there's more risk with Gruden than there is with Belichick, me personally. And McCarthy, I think, is just a tweener where, yeah, he had a Super Bowl, and I think he's a very solid head coach. I don't look at him as some great head coach. I look at him as a good offensive mind. I think his in-game management is sloppy, to say the least. And I just don't see the appeal long-term. To me, he falls even a notch below Gruden. So that's how I end up on Belichick. Now, we could disagree on that, but at least we're in the same area of saying what the Giants need from their next head coach.
I know it's like such a tired conversation or debate point, and there's no right or wrong. You know, the whole Belichick make Brady or vice versa. But what has Belichick been without Tom Brady? What has he been?
I know.
At least there's some reason. I know it's almost too easy to reach for that. So that's why I'm kind of moving on to just to bridge my point to McCarthy. I've seen Mike McCarthy win games when his starting quarterback, who's pretty good, had his ankle pointed in the wrong direction and won games with Cooper Rush.
Yeah, I know, but not to the level that they needed to win. And also,
but Belichick did nothing without zero.
I could say, what did Mike Tomlin do without Ben Roethlisberger?
He's never fallen below 500. Okay. Belichick did.
Yeah, but how many years did Belichick finish below 500?
If I had to guess, no. Or just with the Pats or with the Browns too?
Yeah, with the Pats.
If I had to guess, two, but I'm going to look it up because he wasn't there a whole lot of time after Brady.
He had the one bad year, then he got bounced, 4-13 or whatever it was.
All right, so he was 7-9 in 2020, a wacky year for everybody.
Yeah.
And then he was 8-9, three of them. Dude, his last 4 years, Sal.
Oh, well, 8-9, I mean, 7-8 wins.
I know, but it's still under 500. 7-9, 10-7, 8-9, 4-13. I mean, that's not any real evidence that this guy's magical without great Tom Brady.
Yeah, but then go over his peak versus even Tomlin's peak.
Well, his peak, he's Lombardi. He's modern Lombardi.
But
I get that.
That's the point. Or McCarthy, like, I'm looking at X's and O's, in-game, disciplinarian, hold guys accountable. You're not asking him to rebuild, which, by the way, I don't even think I would hire Tomlin for a rebuild because it's proven he can't rebuild that team to the level that they need to be.
Not without a quarterback, but now that he's got a quarterback in Dart, if you think he's the guy, I do.
But that's what I'm saying. This is not a rebuild situation. This is a situation where you do have the quarterback in place.
Yeah.
So I would go with Belichick. I understand why people wouldn't, but I just would not go with McCarthy. Steve is calling from Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up, guys? I don't like the Devin Williams signing at all for the Mets. I really don't like the number of years. I'm a Yankee fan. When he signed with the Yankees last year, I saw some stuff being written about how his fastball was declining even then. Like, when he was at his peak, he was like mid-95 miles per hour. He was down, I think, at 93.8 last year with the Yankees. And there was also...
It was higher than that. It was higher, but keep going. It was 94.6. Keep going. But it was higher.
Okay. Well...
It was.
I saw that was his average fastball.
No, his average fastball is 94.1. I've dug into this. You're close, but I'm just... 93 is different from 94, especially when your best pitch is a changeup. That's all I'm saying.
I've also seen some stuff where the horizontal movement was more, and it wasn't going down as much, and some other stuff that I don't know if we need to get into. But I'm just
you put Sal to sleep with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know.
I get it.
So, but anyway, look, it's just I'm concerned about him having a steady decline in his fastball, and a guy, you had brought this up yourself, BT, about how a guy that throws the changeup as his main out pitch as a swing and miss pitch, when the differential is shrinking year on year,
that can be
something that really worries you. I don't like having him for 3 years.
I understand that. I truly do. I got it. Thanks for the call there, Steve. It's fair. I don't even check the horizontal stuff, even though it's applicable.
But what about 2 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, you, any one of these contracts, it's never going to be, Max Fried, I don't like the seventh or eighth year. Okay, but you understand that going in with any of these contracts. So let's say Williams is good for the first two and not good for the third year. That's why with a reliever especially, you want to minimize the amount of years you're committing because there is little to no chance Diaz will be great for 5 years.
So if
you
do that,
you know what I'm saying? If you do, probably not even four, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that deal, you're doing it based on the first couple. So you figure with the Mets, okay, well, they believe that they could get at least two good years from Williams of those 3 years, whichever way you want to take it. And it's a $51 million risk. It's not that big of a commitment. Double that for Diaz. And there's no way, as dominant as Diaz is, he's double the results producer as Devin Williams could be. Double.
I think that's, double. No, that's fair. I mean, especially if Devin Williams stabilizes, which he's going to. I believe that last April was an anomaly. And, You know, we've kind of touched on a lot of things here. If you guys missed it, so we're not redundant, free Odyssey app, go check it out. I like it. I would love it if Devin Williams is setting up Edwin Diaz. We don't know if that's going to happen. I actually think Diaz will be on a different team. Sal doesn't. We'll eventually get the answer. And by the way, just to button it up with the fastball, because it does matter, and I did look this stuff up. I had it written down. So, but I just wanted to see. So in 2022, which was one of his best years, obviously, Devin Williams, that was actually his lowest fastball. It was, I'm going to get a little numbers oriented. I'll try not to geek out, but it matters for him with the changeup. 93.9 mile per hour fastball in 2022, which was his lowest average fastball ever as a pro. And then the next year it went up to 94.2, and then it went up to 94.7, and then last year it went down to 94.1. So basically, he's always been 94 point whatever. Whereas, you know, now, if he dropped from 94 to 92.3, that's more problematic. I'm not really worried about that. I think it's a bit of an overstatement or an oversell or trying to find reasons for a guy who was historically basically untouchable. Like, it's not like he was good. Some of Devin Williams' seasons were filthy, historically filthy. And when you're not filthy, we want to know why. And sometimes I think people kind of lean on the numbers too much. His fastball's fine. His changeup is elite.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation. We come back, 888-808-1019.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. It's your last chance to score Cyber Monday mega deals. Shop up to 50% off plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.